desire y'all's prayers. I wrote on the board, Eyes of the Heart. We've had a lot of recent events. Some of them were mentioned, especially during prayer, the things that we have going on in the country. Things that can disturb us, leave us unsettled. And I work with a lot of electronics, electrical items. And I don't know if any of y'all are that familiar with electrical grounding of devices. But a lot of times, something that runs off electricity, if you don't put the ground in the right spot, it may run, but it'll do things that you didn't expect it to do. It'll just be out of kilter. And so kind of my burden tonight is to look at ourselves, not so much out at what's going on in the world, but with the disturbance that's out there, to hopefully give us something to allow us to ground ourselves so that during this time we can operate the way we need to. So I'd like to start off in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. And I'm going to start off with a simple verse. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now this verse, keep, what does to keep mean? What is implied here? Well, here it's talking about to guard, to watch over, to take care of it. Then it talks about our heart. What are we keeping? Our heart. Now this heart that it talks about here means more than just the organ pumping blood. It's our feelings, our will. It even implies to our intellect. You could say it implies to us as a whole being.
Yes.
My heart, when I met Diane, went out after her. When we got married, I committed my heart to her as far as matrimony goes.
Yeah.
Not just part of it,
no.
All of it.
Yes,
the part of me that works and earns a living, the part of me that helps take care of the house, the part of me that spends time and in enjoyment with her. All of it had to be part of the equation for that relationship to work. Well, we're asked here with God, he says, keep your heart. Keep yourself, the seat of your affections, your mind, your intellect, your will. Are you watching it? Are you being careful with it? And with all diligence that we have translated here actually comes from three words. The first word actually means from or on the account of. The second word is for the entire thing. But the last word I found interesting. It refers generally to a guard post, a place of confinement as a prison, or even the guard himself. And with that in mind, when you are keeping your heart with all diligence, are you considering how you're keeping it, where you're keeping it, and even checking yourself, the guard of your heart, to say, am I where I need to be? Am I allowing things in without realizing it? Pulling guard duty, I had the privilege of doing that quite often in the military. You're tasked with watching something.
Yes.
It is your orders. For the story I'm about to relay, I was actually the sergeant giving the orders. Had a new private show up at the unit, and he came in with a bit of an attitude. Didn't think he had to necessarily do everything that he was told to do. So there's simple ways to deal with that, and one of them is he gets guard duty. So I had him get an M16 out of the armory, and I got my Kevlar helmet and had him get dressed in his combat gear, and we went out into the middle of the parade grounds in front of the commander's office on post, and I put the helmet down in the middle of the parade field and paced off to one corner and told him, okay, until I come back, you're to guard that helmet. Nobody's to touch the helmet. Nobody can take it from you. If anybody approaches this, you keep them outside of this space. And I want you to start here, and you go so many paces over, take a left, so many paces over, and you keep doing this until I come back. I'll see you in a couple hours. The point was, obviously, the commandant sees this man with full battle gear walking around the helmet. Who do you think is going to go out there and ask, what are you doing? When he approaches, he has to be challenged. He's not allowed in. The eyes of that soldier to properly guard that Kevlar had to be looking at something. Now, if all he looked at was the Kevlar, he's looking the wrong direction.
Yes.
People aren't going to approach you from the Kevlar. That's inside the secure zone. And I would challenge us, what are we looking at in our day and age? Mm-hmm. Are we looking at maybe the place where the threat's not really at? We think that's what we should be looking at, but maybe that's not the right spot. Maybe we need to be a little more aware of what's really going on.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to read another verse now in Proverbs. Proverbs 11, verse 27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come into him. Now Jesus, when he came, do you realize that some people saw Jesus as a polarizing evil influence?
Yes,
they did not see him as a positive thing. Others, he's the source of grace, the source of life. What are you looking for? Are you looking for good? You'll find it. Are you looking for the evil? You'll find it.
Yes.
What are you looking for? You know, the Pharisees, they saw him as an usurper. Somebody coming in, challenging the religious rules of the day, they viewed him as a threat to the people because he was going to mislead the people. The crowd of people that would have made him a king, they would look at a man that could feed them, take care of them. But they were motivated by fleshly desires because that's what they were looking at. We want this man for a king. Why? Well, he can feed us, he can take. We won't have any earthly needs again. Jesus asked his disciples a question one time. Who do men say I am? Well, some of the answers were John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, or just some other prophet. So Jesus asked them, well, who do you say I am?
Yes, that's a big question.
Peter. Good old Peter. You're Christ, the Son of the living God. What were the other people looking at that they didn't see Christ, the Son of the living God? Was Jesus different to everybody? Jesus was the same. What were they looking for? What were the eyes of their heart looking for? Some were looking for, I just want help in my earthly life. This is what I want. And I think I found it, except God said, that's not why I'm here. Yes, I fed you. Yes, I could take care of you that way. But that's not why I'm here. The Pharisees, we have a system in place and we need to protect it. We need to keep it. Once again, Jesus is like, that's not why I'm here. I have something so much better that I want to bring you. So now I want us to move over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. going to read verses 4 through 8. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, this letter, as far as we can tell, was written by Paul in some pretty difficult circumstances. He was a prisoner. They expect this letter was written sometime between 60 AD and 64 AD. Now, I'm going to paint a little bit of a historical backdrop of what's leading up to this point. Stephen was stoned somewhere between 33 and 36 AD. Herod Agrippa comes on the scene. He kills James, has Peter arrested, starts persecuting the church, which results in a lot of the Christians being driven out of Jerusalem in 43 AD. In 49 AD, Paul is stoned and left for dead. Between 50 and 52 AD, Paul and Silas are beaten and imprisoned at Philippi. Paul's imprisoned and shipped to Rome in 60 AD. And just to let you know the dark clouds that were in shortly in the future of the time this was written, it was only 4 more years that Nero was going to start his persecution of the Christians. And yet, let's go back and look at exactly what was exhorted here. Starting out in verse 4, rejoice. Rejoice.
Yes, thank the Lord.
It's dark times, folks. Rejoice.
Yes, that's good advice.
And did he say it just once?
No.
Nope, he didn't say it just once. And again I say, I want to emphasize it, rejoice.
Yes,
you need to be looking at the right things. Going down to verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now moderation, that's another interesting word. The different definitions, fair, equitable, fitting, appropriate, suitable, proper, to be lenient, yielding, unassertive. Now let me read that again, because this is in a time of persecution. Fair, equitable, fitting, appropriate, suitable, proper, to be lenient, yielding, unassertive. So he's saying, this is a time when it would be easy to get your back up. But stay true to God. God's in charge.
Yes.
What did he say in the verse? The Lord is at hand.
Yes, it is too.
That's the strength. That's the source of everything.
Yes.
Remember it. Down into verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious and fretful. Bring those issues to the Lord.
Yes, amen.
It doesn't mean we won't see them, folks.
No, it doesn't.
You're going to see them. Mm-hmm. They're going to play on your emotions. They're going to play on your mind. That's a reality of being human.
Yes.
Jesus in the garden, facing the cross, knowing what the will of his Father was before he came to earth, still prayed, "Father, if it's possible, can we change your plan?"
Yes.
But he didn't stop there.
No.
"But if not, thy will be done."
Yes.
If not, it's scary, Lord. I'm looking at it. It is scary. "But if not, strengthen me."
Yes.
Give me the grace I need to finish the work you've started for me. And how are we supposed to bring those issues to the Lord? With thanksgiving. Speaking of Paul and Silas, their story. They go into a town, preaching. The lady with the spirit of, I guess you'd call it fortune telling, is following them around. And they cast the spirit out of her. The people that had used her spirit for gain got upset. Now what are we going to do? We're not going to be able to tell things the way they were. So they accosted them. They brought them before the rulers of the city. Falsely accused them.
Yes.
Ripped their clothes off. Beat them with many stripes. Cast them into prison, and not just into prison, but into the inner prison, put their feet in stocks because they didn't want them getting away. Midnight rolls around. What's the record of Paul and Silas's response to that day? Oh Lord, we're so just terrible place. No. Lord, you have welcomed us into your life. You've allowed us to participate with you. Thank you for this day.
Praise the Lord.
It's a challenge to me, folks.
Yes.
But this is not just, this is experiences that were lived by the forebears before us that were following Christ. In verse 7, why are we supposed to be rejoicing in all of this? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How was Paul and Silas able to be in that prison? Praying and singing?
Yes.
It wasn't understandable to the guard. When the earthquake happened, and he just knew all the prisoners had escaped and he's ready to kill himself. Don't worry, we haven't left. Why not? It would seem natural that the glory of the Lord has just set you free. Oh, but you have a soul, brother.
Yes.
And I don't want you to die unprepared. Let's talk about this. And before the night was over with, they had one more convert, didn't they? What were they looking at? Were they allowing themselves to be shooken by what was going on? Those events actually happened to them. All in a 24-hour period. And yet they stayed grounded in the Lord. To the point a soul was saved because of it. You want to talk about a peace that passes men's understanding? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. We brought you in, put you on a false trial, ripped your clothes off, beat you, threw you in jail, and you're happy about it? That's a challenge for me, folks.
Yes, it is.
And then, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you know, it doesn't mean that you won't see the evil going on around you. Paul and Silas had seen plenty of evil just in that one little period before they were thrown in jail. But what did they put their eyes on? The evil? No. Why? Because I'm not looking for evil. I'm not looking for evil. I'm looking for God. I'm looking for Jesus. Where is he at in this? Ah, there he is. There's Jesus. There's my master. He's here in my heart comforting me. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 14. Starting in verse 29, Matthew 14, 29. This is talking about Peter and walking on the water. And Jesus, it says, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, the thing that's always challenged me with this story, Peter got out of the boat, folks.
Yes, he did.
He was not walking in error at the moment. He was walking 100% in faith on water. I've never done that.
Yes.
That's always impressed me. He had the faith to step out of the boat. I don't know about you, but that puts him in a pretty good spot, in my opinion. But somehow, he took his eyes off Jesus. Did he get relaxed? I'm walking on water. I don't know about y'all, but I think I'd look around too. Is this real? You're walking on, I would feel tempted to look around. And he did look around. Mm-hmm. And what did he see?
Boisterous
waves.
Yes.
Now, if you go back in the story, they were struggling to keep the boat afloat.
Yes.
And Jesus came walking by.
Yes.
The boisterous waves had been there the whole time.
Yes.
It wasn't anything new. But he let what had been there the whole time suddenly shake his face. He got out of the boat with those boisterous waves already in action and had already, if you want to say it, conquered them, was walking on them.
Mm-hmm.
But allowed his eyes to go back and his heart to be affected by what had already been defeated.
Yes.
Christ has defeated the world.
Yes, he has.
We're still living in it, yes. But the world is defeated. We have to remember, keep our eyes on Christ. I think of Peter, Lord, help. I've been so impressed. It doesn't say Jesus sprinted across the water to him. Jesus, just take my hand, look back my way. I've got you. You're going to be fine. I'm right here. There's no need to fear. Yes, it's boisterous waves. Yes, these waves could sink your boat still, even though you're not in it anymore. But I'm Jesus. None of this do you need to be afraid of. All of this is under my control and only allowed to the point I'm willing to have it go. Who sets up kings? Who takes down kings?
He does.
God does.
Yes, he does.
And Jesus asked him, why did you doubt? Looking at it, why did Peter doubt? Where the eyes go. I'm guilty of this. Have y'all ever been driving down the road and turned to get something in the car or something like that, and you look up and a mailbox is staring at you and you're hoping you don't hit it? What happened? I took my eyes off.
Yes.
We need to keep our heart. Our heart leads us.
Yes,
out of it are the issues of life. It's the issues that we become very concerned about. It's the cares and the things that are close to us. In our day and age, we need to keep our heart with all diligence.
Yes, we do.
We need to make sure that, Lord, help me not to get distracted with the evil. It's out there. You will find it if you look for it. The other verse, Proverbs 11:27, said so. If you go seeking for it, you will find it. The evil is out there.
Yes, it is.
But if you seek for the good, you will find it too.
Yes.
Why? God is out there.
Yes, that's the reason.
In our times, I would challenge us, ground yourself by looking to the good. Where is the Lord in all of this? Let's roll back up to the list of events here and think about something. So Stephen was stoned. He's the first martyr. When Herod Agrippa started kicking people out of Jerusalem, do you realize that was also what started spreading the gospel far and wide? The Christian church looks at that as a positive thing if you truly study the Christian history. Why? Because people went and started spreading the gospel.
That's right.
But if you only look at the negative side that I first read out, you can think, oh, what a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. Did you look for God in it? Paul stoned and left for dead. But then he got back up and went back in the city and preached, didn't he? Paul and Silas being imprisoned and beat at Philippi. Why were they imprisoned and beat? Because they healed a woman. They got a spirit out of a woman. Do we think about the good of that part of the story? The wonderful blessing? Paul being imprisoned and shipped to Rome. Why? Because the Lord said, you are going to go testify in front of the kings. In front of Caesar. You're going to take my... This is my will, my blessing for you. This is my plan.
Yes.
Do we look for the good or do we look for the bad? In our world today, I would challenge us, what are you grounding your eyes to? What is your touchstone to reach out and say, Lord, where do I find a source of stability? Where do I find my peace? Folks, you will not find a lasting peace in the world. If you study world history, governments rise and they fall. And I'm not trying to say anything about ours. It's just, it's history. How long has it been since Christ went back to heaven after his resurrection? What was it that the Jewish leaders said? We really don't want to spend too much time with this guy because we've had this other person claim to be Christ and this other person claim to be Christ and yet just a few years after things happened and their teachings have died out.
Yes.
Still here. Still true. I would challenge us, ground ourselves in the Lord. Don't allow your hearts to be caught up with the things of the world. It doesn't mean we can't be aware of them. We are to pray for them. Why? So we can lead peaceable lives. That's biblical. It doesn't mean you have to be ignorant of them. But make sure the source of your strength and of your peace comes from the Lord. Y'all pray for me.